Okay, Cody, I just read through this Node.js virtual file system PR, and I'm actually kind of blown away by the scope.
Yeah.
Matteo Colina just dropped 133 commits that add a whole Node VFS module. I want to know if this is real, or if it's one of those things that sounds good until you actually try to integrate it.
Give me the one-liner first.
Virtual file system you can mount at a prefix, like slash virtual or C, and it hooks into FS. FS dot promises and the module loader so require just works. In-memory files, bundled assets, custom backends, whatever you want. How's your week been, by the way? I feel like I haven't caught up with you in forever.
Long. I was debugging a deployment issue on Friday that turned out to be a symlink resolution problem in a container, of all things. Spent 4 hours staring at permission logs. But yeah, this PR, how many interception points are we talking?
164. That's the actual number. They say it in the FAQ.
That's not a number, that's a threat.
Right. But here's the thing. The design is actually clever. It's not a proxy or a dispatch table. They use per-function handlers, and when no VFS is active. It's literally a single null check.
Okay, that's smart. VFS state, handlers, is null. You skip the whole thing.
Exactly. Zero overhead when the VFS isn't mounted. Virtual file descriptors start at 10,000, so there's no collision with OSFDs. It's not sloppy.
What about the module loader? That's the sticky part.
They wrap the loader functions, stat, read file, real path, all that, and install VFS-aware versions on first mount. Both CommonJS and ESM go through the same wrappers. So require and import work from virtual files without special handling.
That's actually solid. But 164 integration points is still a massive surface to maintain. What's the PR size?
11,000 tests, 9,000 lines of code, 1,000 lines of docs. And they used Claude to generate a bunch of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but they say they reviewed everything themselves. The FAQ is honest about it. No one's tackled this before because it's just huge. AI made it feasible.
So, the real question is, does anyone actually need this in core, or does it belong in userland?
That's what I want to talk through. The test runner integration alone is worth it. T-mockock FS creates an overlay VFS that auto-restores. You can mock specific files and let everything else fall through to the real file system.
Right. Right. Overlay mode.
And single executable applications. Assets are bundled into the binary and automatically mounted at slash C. You read, config, templates, whatever, with standard FS calls. No custom APIs.
That's the SEA case. What else?
In-memory workflows. You create a VFS, mount it, write some files, require them, unmount. The whole thing is synchronous if you want it to be. That unlocks a whole class of use case, code generation, embedding, testing. That's awkward right now.
But here's my concern. The PR says they could put it behind a flag. The high-risk parts, the integration points, still get exercised. So why merge it into core at all? Why not ship it as a userland module first, prove it works, then decide?
Because the module loader hooks can't work from userland. You need to intercept the loader before CommonJS and ESM start resolving. That's a core-only problem.
Fair. Okay. I'm less skeptical now. But the maintenance burden is real. Every new FS API has to add a hook. Every FS bug might need a VFS audit.
Yeah, but they've got 164 integration points already. The pattern is established. It's not like they're inventing something new each time.
True. So, if this ships, it's a win for testing, bundling, and embedded workflows. The trade-off is surface area and ongoing review.
And the fact that a chunk of it was AI-generated, that's going to be a conversation, for sure.
But they were transparent about it, which is better than pretending they hand-wrote 11,000 lines of tests.
Right. I think this actually ships, Cody. It solves real problems, and the design is clean.